Welcome back to Book Club. Today we have episode 21. Can you believe it is already day 21? Things are flying. This is truly incredible. Great experience. I hope you're enjoying it still and learning a lot from the book. So today I actually want to open up with a quote from scripture. And so this scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verses 19 through 20 says, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." And I think that obviously is so relevant to today's chapter, right? This idea that we falsely believe that we own ourselves. We own our time, our money, our talents, whatever it is. We believe that we own all of it. And because of that, we get very offended when somebody takes what we believe is ours, right? When somebody unjustly and wrongly takes from us what is rightfully ours. And so he talks here in the first page. He says, "Men are not angered by mere misfortune, but by misfortune conceived as injury. And the sense of injury depends on the feeling that a legitimate claim has been denied. The more claims on life, therefore, that your patient can be induced to make, the more he will feel injured and as a result, ill-tempered. Nothing throws him into a passion as easily as to find a tract of time which he reckoned on having at his own disposal, unexpectedly taken from him." Man, I think this is interesting. I think it's also interesting that C.S. Lewis puts this as a point of specifically male temptation. He kind of talks about how this is a really good way to get to men. And I think it's true for everyone, but I've often been able to reflect and have thought about my own holiness or virtue in terms of how willing am I to be inconvenienced, right? And this is something that I think my dog has taught me a lot about, because I remember feeling when we first got our dog, which I'm recording this on the day that is exactly a year after we got our dog, Luna. And I love Luna to death. She drives me crazy, but I love her. And what's interesting about having a dog is there was times, especially when working from home, is there was just so many opportunities for me to stop and pet her throughout the day, you know, or throw her ball or do something simple for her, water her dish, whatever it might be, right? Take her out to go to the bathroom. Although it brought a lot of joy into my life, it did bring opportunity for a lot of little inconveniences and little interruptions. And I think too often we don't recognize and appreciate those for what they are. And what they do for us is they remind us that our time is not ours, right? That we're not here on this earth just to serve the things that we find most important, right? But we're actually supposed to sacrifice for other people and think of other people as more important than our own. Look to the needs of other people and to prioritize those over our own, especially not just needs, but desires and wishes, right? And not all the time. Doesn't mean that you have to like never think about yourself, but it does mean that we're supposed to generally have a disposition that is prioritizing other people. And this means we have to be willing to be inconvenienced. And I think you can really tell a lot about a person. I think this is a good litmus test if you're dating. This is where I feel like you are most justified in being judgmental, right? Is in dating or in finding friends. And I think that we get to see with people when we see them inconvenienced, when we see whether it's like a piece of adversity or an obstacle that comes up in life, or it's just like a day-to-day, somebody stops them to ask them a question, or they get these little interruptions, because that's what family life really is. And that's why I think this is so important, especially in discernment of dating when it comes to choosing your spouse and the future mother or father of your children, is that when you are living family life, but really any life, your day's just full of interruptions, right? You might have a coworker calling you as soon as you get into a groove doing some work that you were doing. You may have your son or your daughter come up to you and start talking to you or ask you if you want to play while you're busy working, you know, doing lawn work or whatever it might be, right? There's so many different things that can come up, and some of them are urgent, some of them are not as urgent, right? Sometimes you can say, "Hey, give me 5 or 10 minutes," and sometimes it's like a very pressing matter, right? And how you handle that really tells a lot about how you look at your life, how you view the things that God has given you. Do you view them as your own? Have you taken and made all these claims to them, as C.S. Lewis talks about here, or have you really, you know, offered them up and given them over to God? He says that he goes on to say he is also in theory committed to a total service of the enemy, and if the enemy appeared to him in bodily form and demanded that total service for even one day, he would not refuse. So this, I think, is really important. He goes on to talk about how you'd almost be disappointed if he said, if God, you know, showed up in person, you know, if Jesus appeared to you and asked for your service for a full day, none of us would say no, right? Who would say no to God face to face? It's one of the biggest challenges that we have in not being able to see God, not being able to converse with him face to face, is that we have to discern and be much more aware of what God is asking us to do than we would if, you know, the apostles had an advantage in that, right? The apostles had the advantage of having God be face to face and say, hey, go do this. And they just went and they could do it or they could not. But it's a little bit easier to have that than to think and be constantly discerning when you have little interruptions, when you have little moments to say, okay, is God calling me to do this, to spend time with this person, trying to answer this phone call, right? When you have to make a split decision. But thinking about that, how would your life look different if God was with you in the morning, if you spent time in prayer and you actually discerned and prayed about, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do today? What do you want me to do today? What is the most important thing? What do you think is most pressing? If we spent time doing that, then we would just go about our lives differently. We would almost feel foolish to say, God, can I have 2 hours now to go Netflix and chill and turn my brain off and scroll on Instagram, right? We wouldn't do that. What would we do if God was really holding us accountable for every minute of our day? It can be daunting and somewhat intimidating to think about that, but is that not what happens, right? Like at the end of our lives, is God not going to hold us accountable for every minute, every day that we spent either for him or against him? He goes on to say, much of the modern resistance to chastity comes from men's belief that they own their bodies. And this is exactly what that earlier reading from 1 Corinthians talked about that I read and kind of opened things up with, is that we were bought with a price. If you were baptized, if you plan, you know, if you're hoping to be saved, right? If you consider yourself a member of the church, you were only capable of being brought into the fold of the body of Christ because you were bought with a price. And that price was a sacrifice of God's only begotten son. And so we have to keep that in mind. When you were purchased, that means you're owned, and you're owned by God. And this is something that our modern world hates. They hate to think of anybody having control or final say over us other than ourselves. But this is exactly what Christianity calls us to. If Jesus calls us and is very demanding, this is where I'm so confused all the times you hear Christians who say, God's not demanding. God doesn't give us commandments. God doesn't just command as a leader. It's like, that's exactly what he does. If you read the Gospels, he says, pick up your cross and follow me. You're unworthy to be my disciple. That's pretty demanding. You know, that's a pretty big request to die to self, to not follow the desires of the flesh. And so when we think about this, we have to be mindful of the fact that we are not our own. So when we are acting, you know, unchaste, when we are doing things to ourselves, that we are really corrupting or disrespecting something that is God, something that belongs to God. Either we belong to God or we don't. And if you don't belong to God, that's fine. God gives you that choice. You can own yourself, he says, but you're going to own yourself in eternal damnation, which is not a fun place to be. I'd rather be owned by God in heaven than own myself in hell. And there's a lot of people who don't feel that way. That's just the reality of the world. You have a lot of people out there, this kind of non-servium, right? This quote from the devil, I will not serve. And there's that famous quote. I always forget what piece of literature it's from, but it's a fiction. It's a work of fiction, but it's quoting the devil. It says, I would rather reign in hell than serve in heaven. And that's the attitude of a lot of people. And I think the way that we handle our time, our bodies, the way we treat ourselves, whether or not we feel like we own it or we can give it over to God. I think that makes a huge difference on whether or not we're truly willing to serve and what we would choose if we had to choose between reigning in hell or serving in heaven. Now, the great irony of that is that only Satan reigns in hell. You know, you hear, it's in a lot of rap music, you know, I forget, there's a Lil Wayne song I know that talks about something like that, of like, rather be in hell with the homies. And it's like, that's because you're an idiot. That's because you think that this is fun and games down there, but it's not. Only the devil reigns in hell. And so that quote is only applicable to him. You're serving whichever place you go. It's just whether you're serving in self-indulgent or you're going to be serving the ever-living God, the almighty God, creator of the universe. And so let's choose God. Let's choose God each and every day. But think about that today and going forward of how do you handle distractions? How do you, not distractions, disruptions. How do you handle inconveniences? Because if you think that your time is your own, if you think that you own all of this and you get to control everything, then you're going to react with anger and impatience, and it's going to throw your whole day off. And that's a good litmus test. It's a good sign that you're going in the wrong direction or that you need to course correct a little bit and get back on track with a virtue. Say a quick prayer of repentance and then get back going. Because God always wants us to get back up as soon as we fall, but we have to recognize that we've fallen. And so we have to take those guideposts and those warning signs as we see them. All right. God bless you. Be your best. I'll see you tomorrow.